I'm a person that likes to look for genuine evidences. I'm a farmer, and I look for genuine parts for a Bobcat skid loader, for instance. And same thing with our tractors. We drive John Deere's, and we look for genuine parts in those. The sisters look for genuine parts for their Bernina. They don't put on other kinds of parts in their sewing machines to a Bernina sewing machine. The same is true. We look for evidences of a true Christian when we are examining ourselves. And I ran across the verse that's well known, but it really stood out to me here a couple weeks ago. Now I'd like to invite you to turn to John chapter 14 and verse 27. I'm going to title this message, Peace, the Evidence of a Transformed Life. Peace, the Evidence of a Transformed Life. Let's read verse 27. We will use it for a text tonight. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus' words here is, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then he says the famous words, not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The quest for peace is a big deal, isn't it? Do you have peace? In the Ukraine tonight, I believe there's more than anything else they would desire peace. They're hoping for peace. I believe many of them are praying for peace, and they indeed even are fighting for peace, that they once again could live in peace. And every man, woman, girl, boy, I believe that is here tonight is seeking peace. And the simple but startling question is, are you at peace with God? We're going to answer that here privately, semi-privately, in a little bit. Are you at peace with God? More introspectively, is your conscience at peace? We have a conscience within each one of our beings, and we have built in us a moral justness. We know what's right and wrong. And if we do something that's wrong, our conscience will warn us. Are you at peace with your community or your church or your neighborhood or your clients or your family or your wife or your husband? Are you at peace with them? And we could go on and on, but are you at peace with your circumstance? Are you really, can you say you're at peace with God when you're in your heart you have angst against God for placing you in the marriage that you find yourself, the church that you find yourself, the standards you find yourself under? Are you at peace with your circumstance? Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." We sing the song many times, "Prince of Peace, control my will. Let this struggling heart be still. Prince of Peace." Isaiah, in prophesying many years before Jesus came, he said one of the names that he called Jesus was Prince of Peace. Tonight, when you leave this place, you are going to declare yourself whether you have peace with God and peace with your fellow men. So I think the word peace is indeed necessary to talk about, necessary to discuss. Do you have peace in your heart? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. He is saying that with my peace, I can do better than a troubled heart. I can find a better way than to have a troubled heart. And I think we need to realize this, that a peace is the evidence of a transformed life. Transformation is what everybody that is a Christian has experienced. They have been transformed. Not reformed, but transformed. Transformation is an inside to the outside change in our being. And it softens our heart. It purifies our heart. It changes how we think. It changes how we respond. It changes our attitude towards the Word of God. It changes us in almost every way. I cringe when I see the lack of evidence of a transformed life in a church member. We might ask the question, whose peace? Whose peace? Somebody answer the question, whose peace are we talking about? We read it. Whose peace? Whose peace is it?
Jesus.
What's that? Jesus said, "My peace," exactly. "My peace I give unto you." My peace. Jesus was in a very troubled time in his life. It was on Thursday evening of Passion Week, what we call Passion Week. The week he was crucified. He would be unjustly tried by both the Jews and Rome. He would be scourged with gouging. Those cutting whips would rake the flesh off his back. He would be belittled at the hands of big Roman soldiers. And he was, of all things, he was chosen to take the place of Barabbas, a well-known insurrectionist and murderer for the punishment. And Barabbas was destined to the middle cross, the worst criminal, and Jesus was falsely accused, and we know the story. "Crucify him, crucify him," is what the Jews called out. And he was destined, and Barabbas was let go, and he was taken to the middle cross. And then he was crucified in the most brutal manner. We'd probably talk about that some Sunday morning. And knowing this was about to take place, he said these famous words. My peace I give unto you. His circumstances were anything but peaceful. People hated him. The world was against him. He was an innocent man, declared innocent by Pilate and Pilate's wife and many people. But yet he said, my peace I give unto you. So whose peace? Jesus said, is my peace I give unto you. And dear ones, tonight, this is yours. This is yours. Are you experiencing it? If you're not, you better look inwardly, because peace is the part and parcel of the genuine evidence of a Christian. You better know. You better have peace. I'd like to look at the nature of this peace. Jesus said it's not the peace of the world. Not the peace of the world. How does the world find peace? It is through favorable circumstances. It's through strength. It's through dominance. It's through changing the circumstances so we can have peace. It comes through a week on the beach, a night at the country music concert, or a whole host of other things. But it's not that kind of peace that we're talking about. It's not that kind of a peace that we're talking about. Not the peace of this world. Not as the world giveth. In fact, this kind of peace takes you down. It makes you more broken. It makes you more humble. It makes you accept the Father's will. It helps you accept when people are mean to you. The nature of the peace is also spoken of by Jesus. An untroubled heart versus the unsatisfied heart. Tonight, I ask you this question. Is your heart untroubled? Or is it an unsatisfied heart? I want a new car. I need a new sewing machine. I need that shirt. I need this and I need that. Dear ones, that's a sign of someone that's not at peace. Tonight, there's two parts to the message. Peace with God and the peace of God. There's two things that we must know that we have peace with God, and we must know that we have the peace of God. I ask you tonight, are these your experience? Jesus said at the end of chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I have overcome the world, therefore you can have peace. I would say this, the lack of peace is a very subtle apostasy
of many conservative people. Apostasy, going away from God. It's a very subtle apostasy where you lose your peace and you're at odds with your brother and you're at odds with your circumstances. A lot of conservative people that dress plain have this apostasy going on in their heart. And as they struggle to find their way in conservatism, they don't have peace and they can't do it. They can't do it. It's hard to find peace in that way. First of all, I'd like to look at peace with God. And I'd like to turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Very important verse. Very important concept. Very important principle. Very important happening. And my dear ones, tonight, it's in the words of these verses that you are transformed. Romans 5 and verse 1. Let's read this together. It's so important. We can't miss this principle. Let's read Romans 5 and verse 1 together. Everyone together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we find peace? Someone say. What was that?
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are justified. We are taken from... Well, let's go down to verse 10 in Romans 5 there. And what does it say we are before we were justified? We were enemies. We weren't just at odds with God. We couldn't just... We weren't just... afraid to meet him in the eye. We were enemies. We were avowed enemies. And then it says these wonderful words that we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. We were reconciled to God. Oh, that reconciliation that brought, that justification. Do you remember when you were reconciled? Oh, it's so important that we understand that great principle of reconciliation. We are enemies with God. And when we were enemies with us, he still loved us and he reconciled us. Wow, isn't that quite a feat? That he took somebody that hated him. Can you do that? When somebody hates you? You do the ultimate act of mercy and reconcile them to you? We were enemies with God. Well, we know what causes estrangement from God and going apart from God. It's sin. Estrangement happens because we are at sin. We are sin. And when we come to Jesus Christ and repent of our sin, then we are justified by faith. And we are at peace with God. And that's the ultimate question tonight. That is very, very important. It's crucial to anything else we're going to talk about tonight. Have you been justified by faith? And if you have been broken and come to him, and have you repented? Tonight, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Your sin isn't taken care of, you're part of the wicked, and there is no peace. He also says in Isaiah, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. Peace with God. Crucial first step of a transformed life. Now we want to look at, for the rest of the message, we want to look at the peace of God. Do you have the peace of God dwelling in your breast? Are you satisfied with God's provision for the many things that come into your life? The events of life, are you satisfied? Job comes to my mind right now. You know, he had all these things taken care of and all his children were gone. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Peace with your sovereign moving of God. People and circumstances are placed around us by God's sovereign choice. Oh, I was thinking about that today as I traveled, that God places Edwin Klippenstein with Tim Berge. He did that on purpose. And Marla Nolte to boot. He did that on purpose. For some reason, he did that on purpose. The peace of God. You have peace with your circumstances. It says over in Romans, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the way of the kingdom. That should be the hallmark of a church, of Christianity, of the Cornerstone Church, even. Is that they're at peace with one another and they're at peace with their circumstances. And it's the hallmark of the kingdom of God, righteousness and peace. I want to talk about some idols that rob a Christian's peace now. Number one I thought of is a bitter response toward unfairness and injustice. And that's an idol. Anything that robs our peace is an idol, because Jesus gives it to us. And anything that takes away that peace has to be concluded it's an idol. A bitter response toward unfairness and injustice. Now, how many of us have gone through times like that in our life? Let's just be honest. People treat us unfair sometimes and unjust. Esau was one that was treated, that his brother Jacob had swindled Esau out of the birthright, just plain robbed him. We know that story. It was unfair. And I a lot of times when I read that, how in the world did God bless Jacob and Esau was, you know, he wasn't. I guess that's just for another sermon, I guess. But in Hebrews 12, it talks about this in commentary on Esau. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Tonight, you could almost cry for Esau. Esau was swindled by Jacob. But the problem with Esau is he simmered with hatred toward Isaac and his brother Jacob. And he started on a course of revenge. He married a girl from the Hittites, from the world, just to be, it seemed like, because of his bitter attitude. And Esau nurtured revenge for years in his unfair treatment, but he was accountable to his Lord for his responses. And tonight, the peace of Jesus can give you peace, even in unfairness. Even in unfairness. Hebrews 12 says, follow peace with all men. Esau finally came to the place where he sought repentance, but it was too late. He was rejected and found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Dear ones, peace is a precious commodity. It's given to us by Jesus. And to trample it down with our selfishness and bitter anger towards injustice, toward our circumstances and towards those God has placed in our life, it's an evidence of a carnal life. I like the words of the song, you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have fervently, longingly prayed, but ye cannot have peace or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar you have laid. The second idol that robs a Christian peace is the shame of unconfessed hidden sin. That's an idol. If there's anything tonight is we have unconfessed sin. We would rather hide that sin and bear the shame of exposure. It will rob us of peace. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. There was this inner turmoil. And he kept silence about his situation with Bathsheba and Uriah and so forth. Do you have peace? Or is there unconfessed sin that needs to be taken care of? Number three, idols that rob us of our peace. And I don't want to spend long in this, is our status in the community. It's such a peace robber, though. It's such a peace robber. We worry about how we are perceived in the community. We put a lot of thought in how we are perceived in the community than toward God. Our status in the community becomes an idol. It robs us of peace and true worship. It goes like this. Oh, what should I wear? I want to be accepted. I want that kind of a dress. I want that kind of a shirt. And even we older people worry about that. How are we going to be seen in our culture? Affluent culture that we live in. The American dream, and I got to drive an old junk van. Oh, what we want accepted so bad. It's a status, an idol. Our status can become an idol. I would like to go to the toward the positive now. And there's many more of them I could bring, but of idols. But let's go to the positive side. I'd like to look at finding peace in this world of tribulation. Number one is let God be God. Let God be God. Let Him bring into our experience events. Psalm 46, we don't have time to go there, but it's a wonderful Psalms. It says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And then it says these astounding words, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Now you can imagine that. Imagine that in your mind. Living beside a mountain, and you all of a sudden see that mountain roll into the ocean. You'd wonder, what in the world's going on? I'm not going to fear, though, he says. I'm not going to fear. Let God be God. A crucial step in finding peace is to know that God is in control and that He has our best interests in mind for eternity. Let God be God. Number two, be an active participant with Jesus by living in His peace. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is probably one of the most astounding passages of Scripture when it comes to the finding peace. Be an active participant with Jesus by living in His peace. We are to put on. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. What? Bowels of mercies. Kindness. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and then the clincher. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. My dear people, tonight, put on. Put on. You are to put on, as a Christian, you are to put on mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiving, those things you put on. And if you have a quarrel against anybody, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Remember how He forgave us? We were enemies with Him, and He forgave us anyways. Tonight, unless you are willing to do that, and you are willing to put on and put off, the peace of God will not rule in your heart. How's it working in your marriage? How's it working, sisters, in your relationship with your children? How's it working in your relationship with your husband? How's it working in your church relationships? Your brothers and sisters, are you allowing the peace of God to rule in your hearts? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Then get this, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You are to unite yourself. Timothy gives us, Apostle Paul gives us instructions. Follow peace, follow righteousness with them. That's the faithful that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. All the association. Our association is so important to finding peace. Tonight, are you at peace with God? Peter says, pursue peace. And then he says, refrain your tongue from evil. He said these powerful words in 1 Peter 3, we're out of time. But he said, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips, that they speak no evil, no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." The word ensue means pursue peace. You know, when we pursue something, we get out and run. Prisoner's base, you children know how to do that. You pursue someone else. And you deer hunters know how to pursue a deer. Pursue peace. One of the ways we can pursue peace is when we know there's a broken relationship in the church, that we leave our gift on the altar and we go and be reconciled to Him. Here, God, I can't worship. I'll leave my gift on the altar and I'll go and find peace, and then I can come back and worship. Do you know that a broken relationship with your brother breaks your relationship with God? Tonight, are you at peace with God? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace is the evidence of a transformed life, a transformed heart, an untroubled heart. Untroubled heart versus an unsatisfied heart. Tonight, are you at peace with your brotherhood, with your God, with your circumstances? It's vital to your Christian life. May God help us to have peace.